2 Corinthians 8 chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And it's so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so we would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you again tonight for the privilege of preaching your Word. And again tonight, Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. This preacher, Lord, needs you above anything else. And I ask you, Lord, to help me and do what needs to be done tonight as I preach. And Lord, you help us all to have receptive hearts, to just simply open our hearts to the truth of the Word of God, and that, Father, that we might understand your will for our life. Now we thank you in the wonderful, blessed name of our precious, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight which I've entitled, The Grace of Giving. I believe with all of my heart, and you know, since I announced my title, I want you to do me a favor, okay? I want you to do me a favor. I want you, with a sweet heart, just to simply say, you know, God's got something for me tonight, and I'd like to know what it is that God wants for me. And he's got something good for me, or the preacher wouldn't be preaching. He's got something he wants everybody to hear. It's for all of us. Amen. And we need to hear what God says. Amen. So I titled this, The Grace of Giving. And sometimes, you know, when you mention the word giving, boy, it turns people off so fast. And I don't want you to be turned off. I want you to understand God's got a wonderful truth for you. And God wants to bless your life. And one of these ways he does it is through giving. Amen. Not through receiving, but through giving. And so tonight we want to do that. I don't know. Of course, I look back sometimes and you hear people, or you know, get up my age and they talk about the way it used to be and all these things. And I think about that sometimes. But I do know the times are getting a lot more difficult than they were in as far as Satan's ability to tie up the finances of God's people. Now, I think one of the main reasons for that is back when I was a boy, you never really heard of credit cards. You just didn't hear of those things, and you didn't hear of a lot of credit buying. Now, there was certainly some of it going on, but it was mainly for bigger items, maybe like a person was buying a place or things like that. You didn't hear nothing about what you have today. You can just about buy anything you want to buy on credit. And so because of that, Satan has been very effective in tying up the finances of God's people. And when he's done that, it's not God's fault that we allow that to happen. There's still a work to be done for God. And if we let that happen, it's our fault. Amen. Satan has just won the victory. And we ought not to allow him to win the victory. So what we're saying is tonight is we need to get free from that, and we need to quit having everything that we do and purchase and everything be concerned with the things of this world, and realize there is a work for God to be done. And there's a wonderful work of God to be done. And God's people are just so entangled. You know, I don't know where you're at, but most of God's people are so entangled in the things of this work. They are just so entangled in it that when some project comes up or something special God wants to do in a church, it seems like it's just like just pulling eye teeth, my daddy used to say. Like pulling eye teeth. It's hard to pull them. It's hard, difficult, hard to get it, hard to get the job done. And I'm just simply saying to you, we've got a building project coming up. It's for the Lord. It's for his work. And I ought to get amens all over the place, because if you spend any time in Sunday school, you'll know we need Sunday school rooms, and God has directed us to do this. There was not one dissenting vote against the building of this here new building project, not one. So that means everybody's for it. I mean, amen. That means everybody is for it and behind it. Amen? Sure it is. That's what it means. So what I'm simply saying is, you see, with God, there is no such thing as inflation. God doesn't worry about inflation. God's never been broke. He don't have need of anything. He's got everything that we need, period. The problem's not God. The problem is us. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Problem is us. Problem's not God whatsoever. And it's strange, because we human beings, we'd kind of like God to just pour it on and give us extra and just give us everything we need and just let it fall out of the sky. And that's kind of our the way we look at it. We think, well, God's so great, why don't he just pour it in and give it to us? But you'll notice in the scripture, God doesn't do that. God always works through his people to meet the need. There was sometimes his people were almost in poverty, but he taught them to give. He taught them to give out of poverty. That was a tremendous lesson. That was something that helped them and helped you and me, because God recorded it here in the Word of God. And it'll help you and I, you see. And so God wants to do that for us. He's not broke. He's got everything that's needful for us to have. He knows how to do it. God does know how to do it. But there's times, and I don't have time tonight to get into all of the reasons God sometimes don't give to us just exactly. And I'll preach that sometime, because there's all kinds of things that God does when we don't have the finances to do this or that. There's things he's teaching us. He's teaching us one thing of the way we handle our finances. See, we're broke now, but if we'd have figured on it 6 months ago, we wouldn't be broke now. See, God's trying to get us smart. Sometimes God does it in changing direction in our lives. And I'm not going to go into all of those things, but those are wonderful things. You see, he shut off the water and the down for Elijah and sent him over to the widow's place. The reason he wanted to change in direction, he shut off the water there and the ravens feeding him. He wanted a change of direction. So he shut it off down here and sent him up to the widow's place. So God does that. So there's all kinds of reasons. But what I'm saying is, God is capable of taking care of you and I completely and fully with no trouble whatsoever. Now, he may not do it the way we want it done. He may not overabundantly provide, but he will provide the need of our life if we'll listen to him. There was a story about a king one day. He went out in the middle of the road, dirt road there, and had his servants dig a hole right in the middle of the road. And in that hole, he put a bag of gold. He placed a big rock over the top of it, right in the middle of the road, with a note underneath the rock that said, "This gold is for whosoever will move the rock." In other words, he was just trying to see who would take time to get off of whatever they was on, move the rock out of the road and they was going to find some gold underneath there. Now, I don't personally believe today the problem is finding the gold. I think it's already been found. I think most people already have it. I don't think we need a bag of gold. We just need to do with what we got according to the will of God. I believe what God's trying to teach us now is what to do with the gold after we find it. After we have it, after God has provided it for us. Now I say that because that king was looking at some of the peasants who had hardly nothing, and he was going to give them a bag of gold. I don't think that's a situation in America today. I don't think that's a situation at Blessed Hope Baptist Church today. I believe everybody here has sufficient to take care of themselves. Now, I didn't say you had everything you need. I didn't say no such thing. I know better than everyone. When I say that, everything you want, I should have said. I know everybody would like to have a little more money. But the problem is not that we just don't have any needs met, that we're starving to death and we're doing without. That's not the problem. The problem is what God does give us is we've got to learn what to do with it after he gives it to us. You see, giving here was a grace. It was a grace of God. 7 times in chapter 8, he refers to the word grace. If you'll look with me in verse number 7, he said, Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And he was talking about the grace of giving. And he wanted them to learn to abound in the grace of giving. You see, whether we understand it or not, it's the grace of God. You've got to learn, and I've got to learn how to be a giver. That's something that we learn how to do. We learn it because God has instructed us to be a giver. And he says it's a grace, and you need the grace of God to be a good giver. But let me say to you, our inflow depends on our outflow. God, if you watch it, God is very carefully about giving who he gives money to. Some people have quite a bit of money because God knows they'll know how to take care of it. And they'll use it rightly. Now, I didn't say that's always true because we have the world out here with all kinds of money, but I'm talking about Christians. God gives money to Christians to try their faith, see what they'll do with it. And when a person becomes stingy with God's work and will not do God's work, I'll guarantee you something, he's going to be stingy with them. He won't give to you everything that he would like to give to you and I if we do not learn to be givers. We need to learn that. Sometimes you heard about the fisherman who was keeping only the small fish because he had only a small skillet. Well, I tell you what, I think a lot of people only have a small skillet. And all they expect is just a little blessing here or there. God's got blessings for us. And I'm not just talking about just about material things. I'm not talking about just money. But I'm talking about God's got multitudes of blessings for us. But most time is we're just still looking. We got a small skillet. And so we don't look for much. God's got wonderful things he wants to do with us. And use us for. So giving is a grace. And I believe something. If we've not grown in grace past just tithing, we don't have much grace. Preacher preaches about tithing. Well, he should. It's correct and right for a person to give 10% of that which God prospers them. Now, that's right. That's proper. But that ought not to be where you stop. Grace, people who grow in grace gives more than their tithe. It's because you've learned the grace of giving. You're not afraid to give. In fact, you're glad to give. In verse number 2, if you'll notice in the scripture that we read, he says, How that is in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Folks, these folk learned how to give out of poverty. They did not give because they had abundance of things to give. They were in poverty and they learned how to give out of poverty. You've heard me say this before. You've heard the story before, but it illustrates it well. You heard the man, the farmer, got up in a church meeting and said, "Pastor, I just feel so good about God. If I had 1,000 cattle, I'd give him half of them." And the pastor said, "Well, you know, Sam," he said, "what would you do if you had 10 cow? Would you give him half of them?" He said, "Pastor, that's not fair. You know I've got 10 cows." Now, you know the whole thing about it is it's not so important whether he would have given him 500 cows or whether he would have given him 5 cows. That's not the important thing. The important thing is, where is our heart for giving? That's the important thing. You've heard your preacher do it time and time again. I've tried to get you to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, what would you have me to give? What do you want me to give?" And I've always told you, I'll be satisfied. If you mind God, I'll certainly be satisfied. But don't you tell me if you got $50,000 and you give 1,000 of it and that God's pleased with it. You still got 49,000 left over. You see, and we sometimes say, "Oh, we give these, you know, big gift." Well, what do you got left over? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you to be givers. You see, I know something. I can't come into your heart and life and change anything in it as far as your bank account or the way you do things, except the only way I can do that is through trying to get to your heart and let God touch your heart and say, "This is what I ought to do." And really, that's the only thing I want as a pastor. But I want you to realize giving is a grace. And it's something you have to learn to accept the grace of God and be a giver. Not be a penny pitcher, but be a giver when it comes to the work of God, you see. We're talking about the work of God. We're talking about getting souls saved. We're talking about a building program down there that'll house boys and girls to come hear the Word of God taught to them. We're talking about people's lives for eternity. That's what we're talking about. Don't go to sleep on me. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about forever. That's why it's so important that we understand that God wants us to be givers. Now, don't you think God could have reached down in the lives of some people who had plenty of money and give it to these folk that needed this money? Don't you think God could have done that? But he didn't. He went into some folk who were in poverty and said, "You give." Because he was teaching them more than just giving a little bit of their finances. He was teaching them character. Tithing is the floor, not the ceiling. It's where you begin. It's not the ceiling. Amen? Just get a hold of that. Don't be afraid to give. God will bless you so much. Don't be afraid to give. Give your tithe. You ought to be ashamed if you don't tithe. Now, I'm serious about this, folks. You ought to be ashamed if you don't tithe. There's some folk that hasn't learned. Some people who are young in the faith, they don't know about tithing, haven't been taught about tithing. There's some folk know all about tithing, they still don't tithe. Shame on you. Shamey, shamey, shame. Amen? On you, if you don't tithe, that's wrong. It's unscriptural. Amen? So I'm simply saying that you've got to learn that tithing is part of the Christian life. And then there's the ceiling up here, the giving. Whatever God lays on your heart to give over the tithe, you see, learn to be a giver, because you can't outgive God. I know you've heard that statement, but you can't outgive him. It's an impossibility to outgive him. He's not gonna have you give and then you starve to death. That'd be a shame on his name. And he won't do that. No, he takes care of those who learn how to give. I want to show you what real sacrifice is. I want to go with me over to the book of Mark, the 12th chapter. Verse 41. What I want to do, you've heard these verses of Scripture, but I want you to listen to them in just a little bit of a different light. Listen to them very carefully as the Lord is speaking. And he says in verse 41, chapter 12 of the book of Mark, "And Jesus sat over against the treasure and beheld how the people cast money into the treasure. And many that were rich cast in much." Now, once you get a picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, sitting over by the treasury, the Bible says he beheld it. That means he was looking very, very carefully at what they were giving. Do you believe he's here tonight? Do you think he knows what you and I gave? Do you think he's observing it? Do you think he cares? Now listen to some of his observations. Listen to what he says. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now, folks, listen. He was not setting up here a standard of giving. He was making observation of what just happened. He did not say you ought to give all of your living into the tithes and offering. He was not saying that. He said, did you observe that she came and did that? And he said, she gave a whole lot more than other ones. He really, honestly, was not condemning what they gave. He was observing what they gave. And he said, they gave much. They gave out of their riches. They gave out of their abundance. And what his observation was this, she gave more than they did. That was the observation. She gave more than they did. So let me say to you, don't you think that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, observes and sees when we give out of our abundance and sees someone who gives out of their poverty, and he says, they gave more than they did. Do you think he cares? Sure he does. You know why? He cares about your character. He cares about your Christian life. He cares about your obedience to the Bible, the Word of God. Don't you think he can do without your money? But he wants you to give because he's told you to give. He wants you to do it because you love him, proving the sincerity of your love. Amen? You know, I preached a sermon sometime back, and boy, this is true for all of us. We got to be so careful because words without deeds don't mean much. I heard some of our young people, and I'm going to say this, I heard some of our young people get up after the camp meeting and say, you know what? We young people's got to step up to the bat, and we've got to do things, and said, some of our older folk can't do it. Well, I'll believe you when I see it. Not much interested in words. Jesus is interested in deeds. Amen? Jesus is interested in deeds. So what I'm saying simply is this, is what he done, he made some observations. He did not say for you to go and cast all of your living into the treasure. He did not say that. What he made an observation was she sure gave more than they did. They gave, and the reason was they gave out of their abundance. You say, well, Brother Ross, that's me, the one in the poverty. I'm not rich, so that don't wait a minute. Some people don't have much is because they blew it. They don't handle it well. So they blow their money. And then they want to say, well, you just don't have much to give. Oh, no, no, you had it to give. You misspent it. Don't tell me you didn't have it. You need to ask yourself sometime, how much money goes through my hands? Amen. How much money goes through my hands? You see, so many people talk about, well, we don't have much. We can't give much. It's because you had it. You blew it. You misspent it. That's why you don't have much. Other folk have quite a bit because they didn't misspend it. And we look at them and say, well, if they can do it, we can do it. It's because they was wise with their money. Amen. You know, you talk about, and let me tell you how to figure things. When you look on the financial sheet, you see my salary. Remember, that's before taxes. Now, that's the way you figure yours. Before taxes. That's fair. Amen. Do you know I've known people who take off their taxes before they tithe? Not only that, I knew a fellow who had a credit union, paying into a credit union out of his paycheck. That came off before he tithed. He also had some going into a savings account. That took off. That was taken off before he tithed. He's a thief. You want to figure yours, figure before taxes. All of us pays taxes. Amen? I mean, I pay taxes. You pay taxes. We all pay taxes. What are we doing thinking we had to take all of that off before we figured God's tithe? Why don't you take off your grocery bill, too? Your clothing bill. Take it all off. And then, you won't have to worry about it. No tithe. Nothing left. Now you say, Brother Ross, you're getting me. No, I'm just trying to get to your heart. I'm trying to get you to listen. And understand the principles of the Bible, the Word of God. He wants you to be a giver. Be a willing giver. You know, there's so many ways we can give to the Lord's work. You know, every person out here has a talent. And everybody out here has strength. Everybody has abilities. Things that we can do. You know, we're talking about the Lord's work. We're not trying to make money off of God's work. Amen? I mean, I know. I mean, we've got people here. I'm just telling you right now that just absolutely has just give and give and give when it comes to doing things for this church. They just do it for this church. Give of their time and their abilities and many times their finances because they just feel like they want to do that. That's a marvelous thing. But you know, every one of us ought to feel that way. You know, if I got strength, God's given me strength to come out here and work on one of those buses, I come work on it because I'm doing it for God. I want to see those buses run the routes and pick up boys and girls. And I was out here. Pastor Jerry was out here. We're trying to set a good example. We should, but I didn't do it just to set an example. I do it because I think it's right. It's just right to do it. Amen. So we just got to learn to be givers. Don't hold back. This is the work of God. We're trying to get things done for God's glory. See, if you're a member of this church, don't it mean something to you? Don't it mean something to you to be a member of Blessed Old Baptist Church where people are getting saved, people getting baptized? We baptized 7 folk last week. We baptized 3 this week. We don't do that every week, but aren't you excited about that? Don't that make you happy? Don't you want to be a part of that? Amen? Sure. Notice in verse number, going back to Corinthians, look at verse number 3 and verse number 4 of chapter 8. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You notice it says they did beyond their power. You know, it's a strange thing. Churches, for a long time now, have tried to run their financial business the way the world runs theirs. Instead of using God's method, they're using the world's method in running a church. It'll never work. It absolutely will not work. What business do you know that goes out and sends buses out all over the place and brings them in free? Don't charge them a dime. Brings in and teaches them. Don't charge them a dime for the classes. All the literature's supplied for them. What business could survive if it run like that? Couldn't do it. You know, that's why the church is different. Church is different. It's run on faith. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you folks, listen, God's method is the right method, and His method is providing the finances through God's people. That's why I said to you at the first of this message, if you'll just listen and you'll have a willing heart, you won't get mad at this message. You'll be glad the preacher preached it. You'll be glad because you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get you to be willing. See, He's looking for willing hearts. Go with me over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. This was here and getting ready to build the tabernacle and everything was getting ready for it. And I'm sorry, the temple. And David here would give quite a bit to it. In fact, if you read earlier in verse chapter 29, David had said, I provided the silver, I provided the gold, I done everything I could do for this. But I just want to show you, and starting at verse 5 to save us time, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord? And if you notice, he asked the question, and who then is willing to concentrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who's willing? Now listen to what he says. Then the chief of the fathers and the prince of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver, 10,000 talents and of brass, 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. If you notice in the end of verse number 6, it said they offered willingly. In verse 8 it says, and they with whom precious stones was found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. If you'll notice here, the real secret of this was they just offered willingly. They had a willing heart. I don't even know who preached the message, but I wrote down a little outline here. It's not my outline, but I wrote it down beside it. I don't have any idea who preached it, but I done this some years ago. I don't know. You know who it is, honey? You've got your Bible a lot of times marked up. She knows about everything in there, who preached and where they preached and when we listen to somebody. But here's what it says. Have a perfect heart will bring commitment. Second one was commitment brings sacrifice. Boy, that's good. Thirdly, sacrifice for you want it to succeed. And fourthly, when it succeeds, there's rejoicing. That's what they did there. They rejoiced. Glad. And then fifthly, we decide to rejoice over that which is important to us. In other words, where our heart is. We don't mind to sacrifice on something that means everything to us. And if the work of God means something to us and the salvation of souls means something to us, we don't mind sacrifice. We'll rejoice to do it. That's what God's saying. Amen? So willingly, it all comes down to being willing to do. Then you'll notice back in chapters of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves. See, there's the secret. If we would give ourselves unto the will of God, that's the whole secret. But you know what people do? They sit here and we say, I have a limit to what I can do and what I'm going to do. They've not given themselves over to the will of God. God knows what your limit is. God knows what you can do. But you just give yourself to Him and He'll let you know. They give themselves over to the Lord, you see. You know, there's a, and of course in chapter 9, verse 2, let me read that before I go on. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of them in Macedonia and Achaia, and ready a year ago, and your zeal have provoked very many. You know, it's very interesting. The zeal of giving spreads. I was in a meeting one time when they was asking, they was raising some money for some kind of a project. And I thought, well, you know, here they are. I was right in the middle of it there. I was watching. And it was a members of the church. They was standing up and said, well, I'll tell you what, Pastor. I said, I'll give $1,000 for that. Somebody stood up over here and I was looking over here and said, I'll give $2,000. Somebody over here said, I'll give $2,000. And it just things started mushrooming. And I was just sitting in amazing watching these people. It was something the church was doing. In fact, I think it was a building program, as I remember what it was. And this one stood up and said, I'll give $5,000. And it just went all over the place. Now, what I'm saying that for is this. Zeal of giving spreads. If someone sees someone else get excited about giving to the Lord's work, it just kind of spreads. It mushrooms. Other people get excited about it. You know, and I want to just take a moment in this. I want you to listen to the preacher. We today, the people in America today, we spend so much money on just foolish things. Now, you need to listen to me, folks. You need to listen to your preacher. I probably am not going to change a whole lot of people's lives, but I'm going to tell you where it is. Multitudes and multitudes of people just absolutely spend all kinds of money on absolute foolishness. Blow money. Now listen to me. My wife and I likes to eat out probably like anybody else does from time to time. And we do that. But I will not eat out at the expense of sacrificing for this building program. Now if I've already give what I'm supposed to give, and if I've got money left over to eat out, we may go eat out. But do you know there's people eat out 4 and 5 times a week? Do you know there is people who spends at least $100 a week sometimes on eating out? And I would say offhand, probably don't sacrifice anything for the building program. Now you say, Brother Ross, is it all right for us to eat out? I don't care if you eat out. I don't care what. I'm just simply saying to you, sacrifice for the work of God first. You sacrifice for the work of God first. That ought to come first. Sacrifice. We spend so much money for all kinds of things, unneeded items, pleasures. Boy, we got money to do the pleasurable things. I just don't have any money to give extra to the building fund or the work of God. But you find them out doing all kinds of pleasurable things. Going places, spending their money. But no money for the work of God. Something very wrong about that. Something very, very, very wrong about that, folks. That's not the will of God. Oh, no, 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 no. That's not the will of God. So I say to you, you see, we've got to be very careful with that which God gave us. God gave you every dime. He gave me every dime that I make. God gives it to me. And He gives you every dime that you make. God has provided that for you. Now here's what happened. You'll look over and they'll say, well, so-and-so was down, so-and-so eating out the other day. Why can't I? It may be that that person's already sacrificed for the work of God. Or he give everything God told him to give and they're taking their family out to eat somewhere. It's all right. So everybody said, well, I can do it too. Have you sacrificed for the work of God? How can you week after week blow money and just blow it and 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 say and think God says that's all right? I don't believe He does. No way in their son, I believe that. God is not okay in it. No way. Amen. So God says in verse number 6 of chapter 8, insomuch that we desired Titus that he had, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. I'm sorry, I should have went to chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In other words, God wants us not only to be a giver with zeal, he wants us to be a liberal giver. He wants us to give bountifully. He wants us to quit giving grudgingly. He wants us to even overgive what we would consider overgive. Abundantly. Amen. You know, there's people, in all seriousness, you know, there's people who've robbed God all their life. I know of people right now who claim to be a Christian, never come to the house of God, never put a tithe into the house of God. They've done that for years and years and years, and what they are is a thief. Absolutely a robber of God Almighty. They're thieves. I know people who stay home from a church service and the next week don't put it all in. They're thieves. Now, you ought to be saying amen. Don't be afraid to offend some of these folk around here. That's thieving. That's robbing God. And that's why the work of God doesn't have what it needs. I believe something in all my heart. I could name a few Christians, if they would pay up what they owe, we could build that building project. No, I'm serious. We could go out there and start building, and we could pay for every dime of it. And they've cheated God all these years. Just robbed him. Spent it for their own benefit. God wants us to be liberal in our giving. Don't be afraid to give to God. You're getting insurance on your future. Amen. Not only that, in verse number 7 of chapter 9, he says, every man according to purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What God wants us to do is be purposeful about our giving. You know, a man determines what he gives by what is purposed in his heart. His heart determines what he's going to give. And we've got to decide where our heart is. See, listen to what he says. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. What your heart says will determine what you're going to give. What is it, God, you want me to give? What is it, Lord, you would have me to do? And the Lord speaks and says, this is what I would want you to do. And you do it, no matter what. And you know what you do? You do it not grudgingly. You do it gladly. You're glad to do it. You don't begrudge a dime of it. It's a privilege to put it in the offering plate for the work of God. It's a privilege. And then he says in verse number 7, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, you'll be glad and I'll be glad to give when our heart is right to give. And it's purposed in our heart. We don't begrudge it. We give it cheerfully. Lord, there it is. Thank you for the privilege of being able to give it. Now, I started this message off by simply saying this. Too many of God's people have their finances absolutely bound up. They're bound up in everything under the sun, and old Satan has done a tremendous job in doing it. When it comes to a building project or whatever it might be, they don't look at us, but they look to God and say, I don't see how I can do it. Well, what you got to do is go back here a long time ago and prepare and get your finances correct and right. And then when the need comes, you can say, okay, Lord, there it is. See? And I'm simply saying to you, that's the way to give. God will bless your giving. Amen. When it comes from a heart that is glad to do it, out of even poverty. Amen. The few mites, if it's necessary, will multiply into much. I'm convinced of that. But don't give a few mites when you have so much. That doesn't please the Lord Savior, who's...
He didn't need them.
Yep. And I can just share with you, that's the way he does it. He takes notice of every individual in this room, including this preacher, for what he gives. Amen. God does that. I'm simply saying, learn to be givers. Amen. Learn to be givers. Not just for the building program. Certainly we need that, but not just for the building program. Just learn to be givers. And God will so bless you. And you'll be so feel so good about it. You'll be blessed yourself by saying, I did what God wanted me to do. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your wonderful goodness and grace and mercy, love and kindness. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, who you are, how great and wonderful you are. And Father, I just want to say thank you for how you've taken care of all of our needs, the needs of this church. I thank you for it. Thank you what you provided for us. Help us now, Lord, to go on and not just talk about the floor, but let's look at the ceiling and let's talk about what you want us to do and give. Let us learn how to spend the money that you do give us, to be wise in it and not foolish. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.